Good afternoon. My name is Chris, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the 2017 Investment Forecast Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Bruce Keel, you may begin your conference, sir.
Very good, Chris. Thank you so much for driving our conference call bus today, and I'm very impressed you even got my last name pronounced correctly. That doesn't happen too often, but I want to thank you all for joining us today on this call. It's nice to see some sunshine up here in the Midwest. Hopefully you all have a good start to the new year, and again, appreciate you joining us today. For those of you who haven't been on one of these calls before, or if it's your first time, the format is we will provide some information on a little bit of review of 2016 economics and markets, and then look forward to what we're looking at for 2017. That'll take about 20 minutes or so, and then, as Chris mentioned, at the end of the call, you'll have an opportunity to answer or ask any questions, and hopefully Nate and I can answer them. Nate also will be providing at the end of a call a little bit of information on Schwab tax reporting info. It's that time of year, so we want to get some of that information out to you today too. So you each should have recently received your quarterly statement from LifeStage. On Monday, we sent them out, and very interesting, this year 42% of our clients had them delivered electronically, received through our new client portal. So that was really cool. Monday afternoon, it was in your inbox, if you will. Those of you who have paper statements should have been receiving them over the last few days. We also put those in the mail on Monday. And just wanted to let those of you know who don't receive the electronic, if you would like to, certainly just contact our office and we can get you set up on our new client portal, on our new website. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, go to our lifestagewealth.com. There's some great new content of information inside of the website. If you would like to continue to get paper statements but would also like to have the online access, meaning if the market were to go way up, you want to check and see how much money you made that day, we can also set you up electronically. We do have a disclaimer that you cannot log in when the market has a bad day. That's not a good time to log into your account. So we do have that disclaimer there. But bottom line, if you do need help, we have a great tech support team here at the office. Certainly not me, but Leah, April, and Pam especially, very helpful in helping you through any client portal questions, getting signed up, any questions you have in regards to that. So keep that in mind. Also, just wanted to let you know, we do have another Feed My Starving Children Day on the calendar. We've done this for several years in the past and just wanted to give you a heads up on our next opportunity to serve at Feed My Starving Children is on February 16th. That's a Thursday morning from 9:30 to 11:30. And as we have been in the past, we'll be at the Coon Rapids location. Certainly more information coming out as we get a little bit closer to that date. But certainly 2016, as we look back and see what kind of year it was in the market, it's very, very interesting. Just reflecting back a year ago, we were in the midst of really 4 or 5 weeks where the markets had some pretty significant drops. They ended up bottoming out about 11.5% just in the first 5 weeks of the year. So quite a start to the year. Things kind of edged back up over the course of the springtime, and then the end of June is when the first big surprise of Brexit happened, and the market reacted suspiciously and dropped 6% pretty much overnight for a couple of days before things started to settle back and start coming up the other direction. And then, of course, the second big surprise was on the evening of November 8th, and I guess that's where I certainly reflect when I went to bed. It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock on November 8th, or actually now I guess November 9th, the stock market futures were down 800 points. And I was thinking, boy, is Wednesday going to be a fun day at the office. But actually, I guess I still was able to get some sleep, primarily because I knew that we had, on average, about half of our clients' money outside of the stock market, so I knew that would not be impacted. I also was thankful that we did have a stop loss that had triggered actually the week before that had taken some dollars out of growth stock index and put it into cash, so that added a little bit more safety. And I also knew that we had another stop loss that I fully expected would be triggering on November 9th. And I guess that helped me to get some sleep. But thankfully, between 2 in the morning and 8:30 when the markets opened up again, cooler heads did prevail, and actually the market basically had an uptick for that day versus what I really felt could be a big crash when I was going to bed. So that was cool to see. Certainly this post-election rally has really been strong, up about 8%, with most of the major indexes really hitting multiple, several record highs over that period. So really, analysts are saying that Trump's victory really has been spurred on a lot by promises of deregulation as well as tax cuts that really have hope for some accelerated economic growth. So that really bode well for our clients and many of the investments. Certainly the star of the year for 2016 was Berkshire Hathaway. Mr. Buffett had a very good year, up over 23%. Probably one of the bigger surprises really we felt was our Dodge & Cox Balanced Fund. That was up over 16.5%, and that's a fund we added 2015, and it actually has about 30% in bonds. So for that to perform that well, even with that degree of safety, we're very encouraged by. And then several of the stock indexes in 10-11% range too. So stock-wise, very good. The Forward Select Income Fund, which is the real estate fund, certainly also has had a very good 2016, up over 13%, still has a dividend close to 5%, so that helps. But then, of course, again, we do have a major portion of our clients' dollars on the safe side, and again, that's very important on some of those days where really it's not there to make a lot of money, it's there to avoid losing 10 or 20%, and those areas performed extremely well, I would say, for the first almost 11 months of the year. Then when interest rates went up, they were impacted a little bit, but still did finish the year up about 2 to 3% on average. A couple of bright spots within our fixed income or bond portfolio was the Ridgeworth Floating Rate Fund, up 11%. Also has a very nice dividend of 4.5%. And then the Templeton Global Bond, which really we had red flag for a portion of the year, had a very strong finish to the year with the fluctuating dollar. It was up over 6%. So certainly, overall, 2016 was a very good year. We'd be very happy to see the same year in 2017, and that certainly is the $100,000 question, what will 2017 bring? And so far this year, it's really been a bit of a watch on if and when the Dow will hit 20,000, and certainly do think it will. It's just a question of when. I thought it was going to be last Friday. I don't know if you're watching this at all, but it hit 19,999.63, so less than 0.5% of hitting that 20,000 this week. Things are down a little bit, so it is a little further away from that, but it does seem like the Trump rally that we had for the last portion of the year has been kind of slowing down a little bit. Some analysts have said that maybe that 2 months of growth was a little bit overdone. Maybe people are digesting a little bit right now what Trump's first legislative priorities will be, and really what will the impact be to our economy. So as he takes office next week, certainly that is what we are watching as what does 2017 bring. And really we do feel that markets are still very capable of certainly not hitting a home run and making double digits, but in the period of time that we're in, we think mid-single digit returns are very reasonable for S&P for 2017. And that's really consistent with what happens in kind of a mid to late economic cycle like we are in at the present time. And some of the factors that give us hope for 2017 is The GDP numbers, the gross domestic product, is showing some signs of increasing. Third quarter for 2016 was at 3.5. Fourth quarter looks like it'll be a little bit more. And into 2017, we fully expect between 4 and 5% growth. So that has been improving. Global growth has definitely been on an uptick after being on the mat for a while. Unemployment continues to be very positive. That number's at 4.7% right now. And just kind of amazing, as look back 7-8 years ago, coming out of 2008, that number was over 10%. So certainly unemployment has done quite well. Inflation still very much in check at 1.7%. Yes, that'll probably go up just a little bit, maybe up to 2%, but still that's a very normal historical point for inflation. Bottom line, companies are making money, and it does seem like they're starting to spend more. I think that's one of the things that the election did, is regardless who won, it just kind of freed up the logjam of uncertainty, and it does seem like corporations are starting to invest more in plant and equipment. Acquisitions certainly seems to be a little bit more in play, so we really do feel that the company earnings do support some growth in the markets as we start into 2017. So we're very hopeful that that will provide some fuel to the economic engine. Certainly there are some hazards out there. Wanted to mention a few of those. Probably the biggest one is interest rates. And it's not so much, you know, if they're going to increase rates, it's more the speed of how much they do that. And so the Fed in 2017, they're going to meet 8 times. The first one comes up here the end of the month when they'll have their first session, see if they do increase it after increasing it in December, and then they meet in March, and they'll increase them. It's just a question, again, of how often and how much. And speculation is probably within those 8 meetings, between 2 to 4 times they'll increase rates. And so we do feel that if they increase them gradually, let's say, you know, maybe in March and again towards the end of the year, a quarter of a point, that, yeah, the stock market and even the bond market can really weather those type of interest rate increases. But if there is a spike in inflation that would cause the Fed to kind of have to play catch up a little bit, that certainly could be a challenge both to the stock and the bond markets. If they were to have to increase them 1-1.5%, that could certainly throw a wrench in the fire. But at the same time, we don't see the economy heating up to that degree at this point in time that would cause us to expect something like that. But it is certainly a question we get very often, is when you're in an increasing interest rate environment, people ask, especially since we have a good portion of clients' money in the safe side in bonds, isn't interest rates going up bad for bonds? And I guess the biggest really component of that is it depends on the type of bonds that you have. It's definitely, you would not want to own a 30-year treasury. That would definitely have some significant principal erosion. But we have placed inside of our clients' portfolios bonds that have less sensitivity to interest rates, shorter term rates, as well as we have some of those international bonds that help. The floating rate helps. So there are ways to help minimize that impact of interest rates. Certainly interest rates going up isn't great for bonds, but we still do feel in this environment that, number one, it's all about safety. They're not going to lose 10 or 20%. But the second thing is we do feel that they are capable of making 2 or 3%. So in our mind, we just have to have a greater rate of return through the fixed income than what money markets would average today for safety. And, of course, that's not a very high bar to jump over right now with rates still very low on money markets. So that's why we do feel bonds are certainly a key part of a client's portfolio along with the equity positions. And still we do use some cash. We still have 5 to 8% of our clients' assets in cash for safety as well as liquidity, with markets at, you know, close to all-time highs. We certainly need to be concerned with having some of that cash available to reinvest when we see some opportunities. Other areas that could throw a little wrench in the fire, if you will, is the trade war with other U.S. partners. That certainly is one thing people are concerned with new administration, especially when you look at that the S&P today, on average, derives about 40% of their revenue from overseas. So that certainly would make an impact. And another concern is those type of policy mistakes or other things, whether foreign or domestic, that could really cause a recession or significant market disruption. Again, we don't see that. But yes, if there was that monster spike in interest rates where they do go up 1% or 1.5%, that certainly would affect the markets and really potentially go into a recession. Again, we don't see that, but those are some of the things that we have to be on the lookout for. And through our TAP program, you maybe probably saw an email come through. I see mine came through at 2:30 this morning for a change we did make in our client portfolios yesterday, where we have owned the Forward Select Income Fund. For many of you who've been with us a long time, it used to be called Kensington. I still oftentimes refer to it as Kensington. We did capture some profits yesterday where we sold on average about 3% of that position to diversify into a mid-cap blend index fund. So that's an area that we've had some exposure to in one of the other indexes, but we have seen some greater strength in that area. And also the real estate area has shown a little bit of weakening, not so much on the residential side, but especially in some of the commercial areas, a feeling of Maine a little bit overbuilt, but especially that area is more interest rate sensitive. So we wanted to capture some of those profits. Just to let you know, we also are planning on diversifying one of our bond positions, the TCW position, here in the near future. So we are just looking at the options and alternatives that will be moving a portion of that fund in diversifying one of our bond positions. So in summary, we do feel that 2017 has potential to really continue what 2016 started with reasonable returns to help you realize your retirement goals. But, of course, election night, again, is a testimony of how we believe that we got to have a good safety plan, too. And through our TAP program, we think that is there in place, having a good portion of your assets on the safe side for any unforeseen circumstances, as well as using some of those stop losses as a tool. Right now, we still have one of our stock positions on that stop loss. So just in the event that we do need to add some safety and lock in some gains, we continue to adjust that stop loss as markets have gone up to lock in some of those gains to help minimize the impact of market volatility. So just want to have Chris come and join us a little bit to see if you guys do have any questions at all that we can answer for you. He'll give you some instructions, and then actually Nate is going to share a little bit on the tax info side of things.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1.
So while Chris is compiling any questions that might be out there, this is kind of the time where we're starting to get a lot of the tax documents starting to hit mailboxes, people starting inquiring about when to get their taxes done and where their forms are. Just wanted to give a little bit of a highlight from Schwab on some of the 1099s that clients could or will be receiving here in 2017 for 2016 taxes. If you take distributions from your retirement account, you will start to be getting your 1099Rs probably here in early February. They will start to come out. If clients have individual accounts or transfer on death or trust accounts, you're going to start seeing more of those 1099 composites showing dividends, capital gains. They're going to start coming out here in more mid to late February. I would caution people here because sometimes they do have corrected 1099 come out. So I would probably not rush to hurry up and get your taxes done if you have one of those after-tax accounts, and maybe try to defer that a little bit into maybe early March, mid-March, before actually getting going into the tax or going in through TurboTax and getting it all completed. So just kind of gives you an idea of when some of those 1099s are going to be coming out. Also, if you make contributions to a retirement account or have done a rollover from a retirement account, you will be getting a Form 5498 that shows that. That typically comes out in June. So, again, it's not necessarily needed for your tax. It's just more information, just showing the other side of the rollover portion from some of those retirement accounts. So just file it with your taxes. Again, just showing those contributions there. So if you have any questions when going through that or going through your taxes, definitely feel free to give us a call, or even your accountant needs those 1099s. They can always feel free to give us a call, and we can help provide them and facilitate getting some of those taxes done for you. So, Chris, I give it back to you to see if there's any questions at this time.
There are no questions in the queue, sir.
Very good, Chris. Appreciate that. And, of course, as you all know, it can be a little intimidating to jump on a conference call with a question, and sometimes it might be of more of a personal nature and don't necessarily want to share it on a call like this. You all do know that we always welcome your phone call, your emails, any questions that you have, whether it's about what we talked about today or any of your own personal information. Obviously, that's what we're here to help you navigate through those financial journeys. So we do want to thank you for spending time today with us on this call. This call is being recorded, so if you do know anybody else who you think could benefit from this information, or you'd like to introduce them to our firm, this is one avenue to do that. And this call will be available on our website under the resource section Monday afternoon. And in our newsletter Monday afternoon, we will have a link to this call on our website. If you haven't had a chance, again, check out the new website, some good feedback from some of the new tools that are available on there. And again, we just do want to take this opportunity to thank you for the opportunity to help you in 2016, and we appreciate your business very much. Look forward to a very successful 2017 in helping you accomplish your financial goals. Thank you again for joining us. You have a great evening, and we'll look forward to visiting with you each soon. Take care.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.